You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Wednesday to you. It's Wednesday, August the 7th. I have my man Mark Narducci in the house. What's up, Mark?
How you doing, Keith?
Hey, Mark, look, we're going to do something different today. You know, we typically always talk about the 76ers. But you know what, man? I think we need to talk about the teams that we think could give the Sixers a run, right? A run for their money. We're talking about the Eastern Conference. You know, there are three teams that that you really have to focus on. You know, one being the Milwaukee Bucks. Number two, the Indiana Pacers. Number three, the Boston Celtics, although some people think the Celtics lost a lot. We both disagree. And then there's, you can't forget about, I know Kawhi left, but then there's the Toronto Raptors, you know, a team that still has a championship medal with other guys. And then the Brooklyn Nets. Now, me personally, you know, you look at the roster and you say to yourself, man, they lost a lot of people. But then they brought in some firepower, too. You know what I mean? And I think that the Nets, I'm going to be honest with you, when Kevin Durant comes back, even if Kevin Durant is 80% of the player that he is, that he was, and I'm not talking about this upcoming season after that, I think they're going to be a favorite in the East. I do. I mean, I honestly think that they'll be the favorite in the East. So, but right now, this upcoming season, they're still going to be a pretty good team.
Yeah, they gave the Sixers, and we'll talk about them later on, they gave the Sixers some moments in their five-game series. I agree with you, and I think they have a lot of firepower in the backcourt.
All right, so like the first team that we're going to talk about, so what we're going to do is we'll talk about two teams in segments. The first segment, we're going to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks, and we'll talk about the Indiana Pacers, right? Is that cool? So the second segment, we could talk about the Boston Celtics, and we can talk about the Toronto Raptors. And then the third segment is going to be a little shorter, and we'll talk about Brooklyn. So what stands out to you about the Bucks this year?
Well, the first thing is they had some salary situations, as you know, and they did lose Malcolm Brogdon. And that's a big loss. I mean, he's a guy that is a tremendous defender. Yeah, he was a little banged up last year, but he can also hit the three. So, and he goes to Indiana, who's going to be one of your rivals. So I think that's a key. But what I think the Bucks did really well, Keith, is I thought they regrouped from that. And he was really the only guy of significance they lost. And then they bring in Robin Lopez, who's a guy that is never going to give you a lot of offense, but I think they brought him in there to defend Joel Embiid myself. They bring Wesley Matthews back to the Milwaukee area as a Marquette guy. He's had some injury situations, but you know, when healthy, he can be one of those snipers off the bench. And then they have a real sniper in Kyle Korver, who is a guy that he's going to get open shots there with all the defensive attention on Giannis. So I think that they are those three better than having Brogdon? I don't know about that. But I thought that after losing him, they regrouped pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And here's the thing. Like, Malcolm Brogdon is a guy that the Sixers wanted to go after. Again, another guy they couldn't afford to get. Actually, he was traded. So, you know, it was one of those things. But here's the deal. Losing Malcolm Brogdon is huge. And I think a lot of people get caught up on that. But those other guys, it just makes the team deeper. You know, I mean, they brought everyone basically back. Well, it was a couple other guys that they got rid of, but guys who, you know, either didn't pan out the way that they liked, you know, stuff
Ilya
like that.
Soba,
yeah,
Ilya guys Soba,
like yeah, that. Like that. So, but I mean, I think this team is deep. I mean, I honestly, as much as we give the Sixers credit, I mean, you're just rambling off a list of names. I'm like, dang, they got a deep team. You know what I mean? Like, the Sixers are, a lot of people saying, hey, the Sixers are the team to beat. But you have to say the Bucks are, Milwaukee is the team that beat in the East right now.
Oh, I think you're right. I think they're the team that beat. I think that they're still a little shell-shocked after being up 2-0 against Toronto and then losing four straight to the Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals. So I think that they feel they're ready to take that next step. They have the league MVP, who I don't even think has hit his prime yet, Keith, and a guy that one part of his game still needs improvement is his perimeter, is his three-point game in Giannis. So he's a guy that we may not have seen his best yet at, you know, 25 years old or whatever. So I think that they're going to be ready to take that next step. I think the Sixers are a formidable contender. Don't get me wrong. But I think you have to put the Bucks as a favorite right now.
Exactly. And while the Sixers, this is the Sixers' motivation. The Sixers are telling themselves and telling everyone that they were four bounces away from possibly, you know, advancing and maybe winning a championship. The Bucks' motivation is we got our butts whipped after winning the first game. We were destroyed. And Giannis is like, I was embarrassed. Everyone was saying I'm not the MVP, that I was undressed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that motivation is more of a motivating factor than saying, oh, well, we were so close. Now, being so, see, because the thing to me, when you say you're so close, it can go either way. It can be like, well, I really don't need to work on my game because we were so close. But when you got spanked and you're the MVP and you got undressed the way he did, you know, people are going to say, like, yo, he's a fraud. So what happens is you come back in the gym and you work even harder. You know, so that's the thing about them. Now, let's talk about the Indiana Pacers. You know, the Indiana Pacers is a team that no one's really talking about, you know, but they had Victor Oladipo back. You know, we talked about Malcolm Brogdon. Malcolm Brogdon is going to be the point guard for them. I mean, that's a great young backcourt.
You know, and I thought that they did a pretty good job. They lost a couple of key free agents, including ex-Sixer Thaddeus Young. I think they did a pretty good job of regrouping. Now, Oladipo isn't expected back, Keith, till maybe December, January, mm-hmm. From that quad injury. So, but I thought that they had one of the most underrated signings in the offseason in Jeremy Lamb, who comes over from Charlotte. You know, no one's paying attention to him there. He quietly, and I know they weren't a good team, although they came close to making the playoffs, but he averaged 15.3 a game. And I think that he's going to give them some pretty good firepower. I think Sabonis is an emerging NBA player who's ready to take it to the next level. The guy I'd be a little worried about is Miles Turner. Is he going to take that next step? He's had some injury issues and things like that, but he's got a ton of talent. So I think this is a very, very good team. They signed Justin Holiday, who I think is going to be a pretty solid role player. I think they're going to be a tough out. And they're well coached at Nate McMillan.
Yeah, I agree. They're very well coached. You know, and the thing is, I just think that I know people are saying, like, both the guards, you know, they're young guards. They're, you know, Victor was a one-time All-Star. Well, he made it last year as well, but was unable to play, so he's a two-time All-Star. But I think Brogdon is special. I really do. And I also think, like you said, Nate McMillan is a very underrated coach. I mean, as much success that he had, I think that, you know, he's one of these guys that people just don't talk about, but he can coach his tail off. I think they're going to be hungry. You know, right now, I will have to say that I think the Sixers are better.
I agree with that.
But
I agree.
But things could change. You know, things happen. But they're going to be a team that the Sixers aren't going to say, hey, well, we're going to go in there and just smash them. No. It's going to be a pretty good thing.
And let's see the impact that ex-Sixer T.J. McConnell has. I mean, this is such a deep team. I'm wondering where the minutes are going to be from McConnell. But let's see, you know about his competitiveness, his fire. And again, just adds to a team which I think has pretty good depth.
I agree 100%. 100%. All right. Well, when we get back, we're going to talk about the Boston Celtics and the Toronto Raptors when we get back from this commercial break. All right, Mark. So let's talk about the Celtics. So a lot of people say, oh, they lost Kyrie. Marcus Morris is gone. Oh, Al Horford is a Sixer. The Celtics, come on now. Y'all know the Celtics aren't going to play that well. Well, my thing is, I felt like they played better when Kyrie wasn't there. I mean, that's my opinion. Secondly, you know, Jason Tatum's back and Marcus Smart is back. You know, they bring back the guys who really made them tick 2 years ago. Now again, you did lose Aaron Baines and you did lose Al Horford. But when I think of Kemba Walker, you know, Kemba was probably, even though he was an all-star, he was the best-kept secret in the NBA because, he's a little guard, but he used to will the Charlotte Hornets to wins. And he used to destroy the Sixers. I mean, he averaged like the high 30s against the Sixers. So now he's going to go on a team where he has more firepower and he can do some great things. You know, now again, losing Al Horford is going to be tough for him. But believe me, they have a bunch of guys who can play. You know, and they're going to be comfortable this year. Remember last year, everybody thought they were going to get traded to New Orleans. You know, it was just a lot of different question marks. They didn't get really along with Kyrie. No. You know, so I think that this team is going to be better than people are giving them credit for.
I agree with you, Keith. And here's another name, and I know he'll never make anyone's all NBA team, but they signed Enes Kanter. Mm-hmm. And the guy can score. I mean, there's no doubt about it that the guy can score, and he's going to give them some offense. Kemba is a guy, you love his durability. He was an 82-game player last year. And he's not going to have to do as much. I mean, he averaged 25 a game. He's not going to have to come near that. And the other thing is, and Kyrie's a great player, and we say this, but the bottom line is they played much better in the postseason when Kyrie was out 2 years ago. And I think that he kind of stymied the development of the young guys, Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Similarly, I think the way Jimmy Butler kind of stymied Ben Simmons' game. So I think these guys are going to have something to prove. Tatum is, to me, a potential all-star who took a step back in year two. I think he'll be ready to emerge in year three, Jaylen Brown in year four. And remember Gordon Hayward, Keith, had that gruesome broken leg and was really kind of just recovering all last year. Toward the end of the year, he was starting to play some pretty good basketball. I think Boston has some pretty good pieces. I would not count them out. Should the Sixers be favored ahead of them? Absolutely. I wouldn't count them out, though.
I agree 100%. I agree. And, you know, here's the deal. The Sixers, again, right now I have Milwaukee number one. I have the Sixers number two. Mm-hmm. I have Boston and Indiana possibly battling for number three. But again, I think it's going to be closer than what people think. You know, I think because, you know, both of these teams, even with losing Al Horford, you know, even with losing Kyrie, I think these teams are just deeper than the Sixers. Now, the Sixers have the great starting lineup, but these teams have more camaraderie. I shouldn't say more camaraderie. They're more familiar with each other, the players. You know what I mean? They know what they have, and they've been there before. Now, Marcus Morris, losing him is going to be huge because he was a leader of the locker room. But at the same time, I'm here to say that I think that, you know, they are going to, you know, play well, and they're going to be a whole lot better than what people expect.
I'll tell you what, I think that they'll miss Marcus Morris' toughness, but I still think they have one of the great NBA tough guys, defenders, in Marcus Smart. You know, he was banged up last year. He missed a lot of time. If he can stay healthy, I agree with you. I think this is a team, and I think that they love the fact that everyone's writing them off too. I think this, and Kemba's going to be so excited to be on a team that has a chance not only to go to the postseason, but maybe have an extended stay. So I think the Celtics might be, Keith, coming in the most underrated team in the Eastern Conference. And if not, it actually might be the Raptors.
You know, and here's a guy, like, okay, they lost Terry Rozier. But then I think a guy who could end up being the late steal of the draft is Carson Edwards from Purdue. They got him coming. I mean, so he's going to be good. Now, again, he's not a Terry Rozier. I don't know if he can be a point guard. I mean, he may have to be one, but he's more of a scorer. You know, he would have been a great fit for the Sixers. But, again, you know, so they're going to lose Terry Rozier, but at the same time, I think they're going to do well.
Keith, that's a good point. And you were out in Las Vegas when Carson Edwards really lit it up in the summer league. And, of course, the Sixers are always going to be reminded about Carson Edwards because they could have picked him, and that pick went to Boston, and Boston took him.
Yeah. That was a tough one. But you know what? They had to go get Matisse. So I understand that. But, yeah, you're right. People are going to remind them of that if things don't work out. And let's talk about the Toronto Raptors. Okay. Should Toronto punt on this season, man? Like,
no way.
Kawhi is a Clipper now. You know, he left. Oh, Danny Green's a Laker. So this was the big blockbuster trade. Now, again, they won a championship with that trade. But they don't have those guys anymore.
Okay, here's what I think about the Raptors. And if you look at the people who they brought in, this is going to be one of the best defensive teams, I think, in the Eastern Conference. Are they going to have enough offense? That's going to be a question. But you look at two of the guys they brought in, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who you're very familiar with, and Stanley Johnson. Those guys are exceptional defensive players. Toronto already has a former Defensive Player of the Year in Marcus Gasol. We saw the job that he did on Embiid in the playoffs. I think this is going to be a very, very strong team. And then you have Pascal Siakam, who's ready right now. He's the NBA's most improved player. I think he's ready to take that next step and become an all-star. We saw what Kyle Lowry did, although you want him to stay healthy. He had the thumb injury. But I think he showed what a leader he was, and I still think he has plenty of good basketball left in him. You have OG Anunoby, who's coming back. He was hurt. He's another top defensive player. So I think if you're the Raptors, you're going to try to look, especially maybe at the trade deadline, for some sort of scoring, because I think they're going to be pretty good defensively. And they also have to hope that Fred VanVleet takes that next step. He was not very good against the Sixers. He was tremendous in the finals against the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're making a believer out of me. I mean, we'll see. Now, they did have that it. Now, you know, you feel a little bit sad for the people of Canada, though, because they were on top of the world for a little bit. But you know what? They still are a formidable team. You know, like you said, Hollis Jefferson, you know, this will be an opportunity for him because, let's face it, he wasn't really in the mix too much down the stretch for Brooklyn.
Right.
But at the same time, he's going there. You know, he's going to be happy. He's going to have a nice role. So it's just that they have to produce. You know, Kyle Lowry, you know, he goes back to being the face of the franchise. You know, one of those things where we'll see if he ends up re-signing with them, you know, after the season. But, you know, it's one of those things. They're going to be in the mix. Again, they haven't changed my mind. They're still going to be in the mix, but they're still not one of the teams. Again, I no get question. It. I know, no question.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing is the team that we're going to talk about next in Brooklyn, and we'll get to them right after this commercial break. All right, Mark. Now, the Brooklyn Nets, they're kind of like the big question mark to me. I do not have Brooklyn coming out of the East this year. I don't. They lost a lot of people, but they brought in a lot of people. And we all know that KD isn't playing this year. But, boy, they have a great coach. right?
Great coach.
Great coach. Kenny Atkinson. And then I think that you have, as much as Kyrie wasn't a good locker room guy per se in Boston, he's coming back home. He's coming back to New York. The people are going to love him. I think that, you know, when he was in Cleveland, it was his team for a little bit. Then it became LeBron's. You know, it's, I think this year is going to be hit. Now, again, things will change when KD comes back. But I think he's going to be, it's not playing in the garden, so to speak. But you don't have that garden pressure. He's going to be in Brooklyn, and he's going to put on a show. And then they have some other key role players that they brought in as well.
There's no question. Now, they bring in DeAndre Jordan. They sign him to a four-year deal, Keith. You wonder, does he have 4 years left in him? But the one thing, and we saw it against the Sixers in the playoffs, Jared Allen just didn't have the physical strength to match up with Embiid. So, again, DeAndre Jordan's going to come in there. And I'm not saying Embiid can't score on him, but he's going to make it a lot harder for that to happen. The other thing is, I thought they got an underrated player in Taurean Prince from the Hawks. I think he does a lot of things well, and I think he's going to kind of fit into that team. So I think that he's another very good addition. And the other thing, and I know this is crazy to say, and I know everyone expects KD not to play this year, but what if he does?
Yeah.
I mean, what if he comes back in April? And what? And you have KD. So, but again, everyone has to assume he's not going to play. I still think they won 42 games with what they had last year. You know, I think they can certainly go above that and be a problem. Now, they're going to be no one's favorite, and they're going to be no one's pick even probably to finish among the top four. I just think that they're a pretty talented team. I think Kenny Atkinson is an outstanding coach. You know, Dinwiddie and LeVert and Kyrie, I mean, that is a heck of a lot of backcourt firepower. They have the reigning three-point shooting champ in Joe Harris, who led the NBA in three-point shooting. They're in a very interesting team, to say the least.
Yeah, I would agree. But Mark, I want to thank you for joining again this week. And for you all who haven't listened or listened on Monday, I want y'all to make sure you get Mark's Twitter handle and realize that Mark is going to be doing more with the Sixers this season. He was great for us at the tail end of last year, and we had a great tandem going on for a couple years before, you know, he became the Temple beat writer. He's still going to cover Temple, but he's going to be more hands-on with the Sixers, and especially after the Temple season. So, it's going to be weird. Like, Mark is going to be covering the Sixers, but he's also going to be covering Temple. So, Mark is like the biggest workaholic around. But as you know,
second to you, Keith.
Nah, bro. You got me beat. Mark, you got me beat. But he's a great worker. I mean, a great writer, great worker, great reporter. And so I want you guys to make sure you follow his Twitter handle, which is SJNard, at SJNard for South Jersey. You know, he's Mr. South Jersey for the people who don't know. But we're going to do a lot of videos. We're going to do a lot of podcasts. We're going to do a lot. We're going to write a lot of stories. So you can follow us on Enquirer.com. And Mark, I want to thank you.
Keith, always a pleasure.
Yeah, and I want to thank y'all for listening. Hopefully the schedule will come out soon. It's come out one day this week, so we can break that down as well. But I'll be back on Friday, y'all, and have a great weekend. Peace.